Last week, the police gave some advice to election candidates going door to door. There were 8 points of advice, and the last point read this: think very carefully about the language you are using so that you are not inflaming an already highly charged environment. Well, we've all witnessed the heat and the energy in parliamentary debates in recent months, the times when ill-considered words have had to be subsequently apologised for. It's a very difficult time. But let's not be too hard on our MPs. They are trying to get a job done against the background of what is a divided country. And in relation to our speech, none of us is perfect. So let's just pause together and have a few moments to think about the importance of language. Words are very powerful. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word there referring to Jesus himself. And then at the beginning of Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Words are very powerful. Now let's turn to the wise sayings in Proverbs that you've got in front of you. First of all, an apology, because at the beginning of our series on Proverbs, I said that we shouldn't really read them thematically. We should read them as they are written in sequence, but today we are looking at them thematically, and here are four different sections that all refer to the use of the tongue. They're very evocative pictures, aren't they? The tongue of the righteous, someone who's right with God, says the right things, is choice silver. Not just ordinary silver, but choice silver. Like gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. So sometimes saying the right thing means saying a tough thing. Sometimes truth is needed, but it's like gold. It's that precious. A trustworthy messenger brings words like a snow-cold drink. Imagine walking beside a mountain in the heat of the summer and bending down to get a drink of water. How refreshing and restorative that is. Trustworthy messages are like the same. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Not a vicious tweet or a powerful talk or a passionate employ, but a gentle tongue. And without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Literally dies away. Well, before we go any further, let's just linger on this whole notion of gossip together for a moment, because it's referred to in lots of places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. It's very, very powerful and destructive. Gossip is, as the dictionary told me this morning, casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details which are not confirmed as true. Someone once said to me, a rule is this: would you say the same about the person you were speaking about if they were in the room with you? That doesn't mean to say that we have to hold our punches. At times we may have to say difficult things about people. But are they fair? Are they reasonable? And would we say them if the person was there to hear? What do you do if you encounter gossip? Perhaps you can kindly and firmly tell the people who are gossiping that it's hurtful and that no one benefits from it. Perhaps you can try to be positive and turn the conversation a different direction. Or perhaps you just need to walk away and not be part of the problem. So in the book of Proverbs, we have these wise sayings about the use of the tongue. But in our readings on the back of the sheet, James and Matthew, we get a little bit more to the heart of the matter. Where does it all come from? And why is the tongue so powerful? Well, James, in his letter, addresses his attention first to people like me, people who presume to be teachers. It's a bit scary that we will be judged more strictly. Why? Well, because I suppose there's a danger that we might lead you astray by what we say. Of course, it's not going to be the case here with an intelligent, mature, and wise congregation that you are. But then he turns his words to all of us. We all stumble in many ways, he says. Of course, this takes many forms, but anything to do with speech is fairly prominent, I would suggest. So a hasty word or an untruthful statement, a sly suggestion or innuendo. But James's purpose here is not so much to warn us to be on our guard against hasty words, but to make the very positive point that control of the tongue leads to a mastery like control of the whole of our lives. So he uses two illustrations to make the point. For an incredibly powerful, energy-charged, adrenaline-filled animal like a horse, all you need is a small piece of metal in its mouth to make it go in the direction you want it to go. That directs all its powerful and potentially unruly internal forces. For a ship, the essential point is the same. A small thing, a rudder, is the key to control and direction. But here the forces are not so much internal but external, tides and waves and winds. So whether it's internal forces or external ones, the point is that a very small thing can make a huge difference. And so too the tongue. The tongue is the key factor in consistently living well, says James. There are temptations from within, as we all know, and tests from without. How we respond to these is what we say is of huge importance. And all of this is reinforced by the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus has just healed a man. This man was both blind and mute. So here is a man who was blind and mute, is able now to see and speak. Very poignantly, that Jesus then turns to the crowd, in particular the Pharisees who've been looking on, and challenges them, in the light of this miracle, challenges them about how they use their words. He says, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." In other words, what you say depends on and reveals what you are, the kind of person you are. Now back to James. He's not saying that a person strong enough to control the tongue is therefore strong enough for every other battle. He's saying it's a bit deeper than that. It's a bit like winning this battle of the tongue is in itself winning of all battles. Think for a moment of the electrical switchboard in your house. There are small switches that switch individual circuits on and off. And then there's the master switch, which controls everything. If you can control the tongue, James says you will be able to keep your whole body in check. Now, why should this surprise us? The tongue is so much more than what we actually say out loud, isn't it? It represents something much, much deeper. Because speech is a small percentage of the use of the tongue, in a way. Because behind our speech is all the thinking, the formulating of thoughts in words, the planning that we go through that describes in our heads step by step what we're going to do, the imagining where we paint a word picture before our eyes, the resenting where we fuel the resentment in words addressed to ourselves, the feeling sorry for ourselves as we listen to the self-pitying words which tell us how hard done by we are. If our tongue was so well under control that it refused to formulate any words of self-pity, any images of lustfulness, any thoughts of anger or resentment, then these things get cut down before they have a chance to grow. And so the control of the tongue is more than an evidence of spiritual maturity. It is actually the means to becoming mature as a Christian. Let's talk about fire for a minute. The tongue has enormous power, like fire, James says. Think about the fire recently in that student block in Bolton, how quickly it took hold. Or the fires that are currently raging in Australia, the bushfires, almost out of control in places. While the bit and the rudder are passive, the tongue is more than that. It's an active force in its own right. It's like fire. From a tiny spark, so much can ensue. Earlier this year, I was talking about the power of the tongue at the primary school. And I asked the question, how can the tongue be like a fire? And quick as a flash, one of the children put their hand up and says, well, my tongue is really hot still from the curry that my mum cooked us last night. You see, the tongue has got huge power because it's involved so many fundamentally in the thoughts, the imaginings, the longings, the plans which lie behind our lives. James wonders if any man can tame it. There would seem to be no power resident in human nature that can tame it. How many times have we wished that we hadn't said that phrase or that sentence? How we've wanted to redact it, to pull it back in, but it's too late. So where are we? Are we impotent? Is there anything we can do? Well, I just turn your attention to another passage in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that controlled and guided and directed their language on that day, so that actually there was a blessing to a multicultural, multinational group of people. Well, if God can do that, He can certainly, if we ask Him, give us the power to harness our tongues. Of course, the tongue can be a great force for good. With it, we praise God. We've been praising God today. We declare His wonders. We bless Him and we bless others. Let's ask for God's help. Let's ask him that we might make more progress. We may feel we've not done very well in this regard, but there's always a new day. There's always a fresh start. The Holy Spirit is always abundantly ready to help us. So let's begin with today. And I want you just to take a moment to ask God to look ahead to the day that lies before you, to the people that you will meet, and perhaps the conversations you will have. And maybe some of you are already anticipating today being a day when you might have to have a difficult conversation with somebody. Maybe that's been lingering for some time. Maybe you're going to have to pick up the phone and say something hard. Well, just for a moment now, bring to mind the people that you're going to spend today with, the people that you're going to encounter, and the people you don't know you're going to meet yet. And ask for God, by His Spirit, to help you to see them in a way that He sees them, and to speak to them in a way that He would speak to them. Amen.